Hello and welcome to the podcast Metadata Podcast, the podcast about metadata, about podcasts, about metadata, about podcasts. It's somewhere in there. Not entirely sure what the full definition of that is. My name is Samuel Hansen, and I'm joined by my partners on this project.
Hannah Majeska.
Claire Michaud.
And Michaela Roberts.
To make a podcast literally about making a metadata element set for podcasts. Yes, that is very meta. Yes, it is very much a weird Ouroboros of podcasts and metadata, but every once in a while, that's a fun thing to do. So we'll have a couple of episodes for you where we discuss this project and the results that we have come up with. Right after this little bit of music.
So this project was created in conjunction with a course on metadata at the iSchool of UW-Madison. And I guess we'll start off with the characteristics of the collection. So Sam, you were the one who suggested that we do this project, that we work with podcasts. And so can you speak a little bit to that and speak a little bit to the characteristics of the podcast collection?
Of course. I'm entirely willing to do that, as anyone who has talked to me over the last year is really sadly aware of at this point. I brought this idea of doing metadata about podcasts to the group because of another project that I'm working on here at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, that being Podcaster. That's podcast R-E for research, not podcaster E-R as in what all of us are now. All of us can now call ourselves podcasters. But podcast R-E, Podcaster, is a database and archive of podcasts that was developed originally by Jeremy Morris, and who was later joined by Eric Hoyt, who are both professors in the Comm Arts Department here at UW-Madison, as a way of keeping podcasts in an archive for future academic research, and also just making sure that we're maintaining this new medium that is becoming more and more important in the world. What Podcaster does is that it takes in podcast RSS feeds and it grabs all the information in the RSS feed, stores it all in a database, and then it also downloads some files. Now, podcasts are this relatively new phenomenon. It's only been around since around 2004. And it does use this underlying technology of RSS, which stands for really simple syndication. And it's just a way of delivering a content over the internet via XML. And in it, it allows some metadata to be stored there, and programs can parse it. And with the use of something called an enclosure tag, where you store the URL for the file, actually download the file. So Podcaster just takes all those things, downloads it, and then as it grows, there is a search interface being built out, and it's for all sorts of different users. But I'm not going to get too far ahead of myself here. We will talk about users later on. And so another really cool thing about podcasts and these RSS feeds is, even though we think of podcasts as this audio format, sometimes video, their vodcasts was a term of art for a little while there in the late aughts, it can actually deliver any file. So the enclosure tag in the RSS of the XML does not require it to be an MP3 file. It does not require it to be, you know, some sort of .mov or other video file. It can deliver any file. So this archive actually has grabbed not just the podcasts, so, and we can sort of think of those in the metadata world as an entire collection, or just these basic episodes, which would be of, you know, if we're talking in metadata language, DCMI type of video or audio. It actually also has text files and it has image files. We refer to those in this collection as episode support. So it really is this much broader collection than originally sounds like when we're talking about it. So yeah, I mean, that's to me sort of the basics of this collection. Is there anything anyone like to add from their understanding?
Well, I also want to add that historically, text and audiovisual materials have been separated when it comes to being cataloged and even stored in different places. So the fact that with this schema that we created, that we're documenting everything in conjunction with each other is pretty new in the metadata world.
Okay, so that is a great point about sort of how, because of the broadness of this collection, we are having to include metadata for a bunch of other things. But as I talked about before, we need to talk about users. So let's
before we go on to users, I just want to add one more thing, and that's that much of the descriptive metadata is user generated. Which means that can lead to some consistency errors. Authors may fill in multiple elements in one RSS feed with redundant metadata, or just use the bare minimum in other feeds, and the amount that each user is putting in different fields is not consistent across the board.
Yeah, so actually that's a great point to bring up, is like, since we are just pulling this out of RSS feeds, we will have some consistency issues, not just because of the fact that we are mixing these different types of files. We're also having to deal with primarily user-generated content. And so we can kind of think of two different users. So those users are actually the podcast authors. Those are the people who are actually putting podcasts out into the world. They are a very small subset of the people who Jeremy and Eric saw as users of Podcaster, and we are also thinking of them, therefore, as users of the metadata schema that we're creating. And they essentially want to be able to submit their podcast to Podcaster and through that make sure that the show is being archived. And that's really their main use case. And they'll do that by, once they've submitted their show through a web form that's going to be on the Podcaster website, they will then just be able to search for their show. This does mean that they definitely would want the descriptive metadata in Podcaster or in our schema, because that is what they would then search on in order to find it in the archive. So they would want the exact thing that they put in for the title or for their subtitle or for their description, so that it's very easy for them to find. But what about some of the other users that we're sort of foreseeing for Podcaster and therefore for the schema?
Right. So, I mean, we can't forget that the word Podcaster in this case is spelled with an R-E on the end for researchers. That is a primary user of this collection. It's been noted in research since the early 2000s that there's been an increase in demand for audio use in academic settings, both for instruction and research. And a huge reason that this has not really gotten off of the ground is that there hasn't been significant bibliographic control over audio files like podcasts or other oral histories for that matter as well. But we'll leave that for other projects. And this collection fills in that research gap in aggregating a podcast collection and making it searchable and accessible to people who are interested in researching topics explored on podcasts or the changes that podcasting has made to the media landscape.
And so another group of users for PodcastRE metadata is going to be the general public who are searching for podcasts. And research has found that the general public searches for podcasts through a variety of means. So they're going to be looking by general topic. They're going to be looking about tidbits that they probably remember from the episode. They may know the episode host or the podcast host. So kind of anything from their memory or anything that they're interested in could be a potential search topic for podcasts. So for this reason, it's important to include as much descriptive metadata as possible to help these users find the podcast that they're looking for. It's also important to let them know where they can find and subscribe to these podcasts.
And so that's sort of the gist of the collection that we're describing, as well as the people that we foresee being users of that collection. So make sure to come back for our next episode where we will discuss the elements that we decided on and the guidelines for their content, as well as the potential for going from our schema to, you know, some other established standard metadata schemas. Thank you for listening.